Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, how are you? How are you? And thank you so very much for tuning in today. Today is Wednesday, as you know it. And this is Dr. Tanji with Dr. Tanji Show.
I love it.
I've got a lot of wonderful things that are going on here. First and foremost, I want to thank God for today. We've got a wonderful, wonderful woman that is a pusher of sorts that will be coming up very shortly, and she will help us kick off our How Did I Get Here? We have a caller that has called or DM'd us and has some things to say, Lynette from Los Angeles, and of course we have our executive producer, Kitty from the city.
But all this girl power, I am ready. I am ready. I'm trying to book our flight for tour as soon as I leave here. I don't know which y'all, if you got anything, you know, in your bags, but let's go.
I'm not playing with her today. I am not playing with this woman today. The show is a platform for inspiration, motivation, and teaching. And the teaching comes in way of having kingdom principles. If you know anything about what we've been doing here, it has only been to really kind of parlay in how to live the life that you were meant to live. I can't ask you to do that if I'm not doing it myself. So with that said, last week I asked you 5 questions, and I told you that we were going to discuss those questions, and I wanted to know simply, who are you? And that's a question that you have to ask yourself once you become very serious on your assignment in this life. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, very absolutely. Good.
You hear her voice, but she's going to be introduced shortly. Who are you? And I can't answer that question for you, but you can. So I want to make certain that you understand that to be open, honest, and sincere with yourself, when you ask or answer that question, who am I? It goes into direct correlation of where am I from? And oftentimes people will think that that means what country I'm from, right, or, you know, what city or state I'm from. But I want you to delve just a little bit further. And once you answer where I'm from, I want you to give thought to, what am I to do? Mm-hmm. What am I to do? And you'll even ask yourself, well, I've heard people say, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I've heard people say, well, you know, I just, Dr. Tanji, I just kind of want to do whatever the Lord would have me to do. Well, I do too, but I want you to go a little bit further, right, right, and let's put aside some of the, as my friend KJ Powell would say, some of the Christian ease, and let's give questions that if someone were to ask you, who are you? Where are you from? What are you to do? And they didn't tell you that, hey, I've got $5 million to give to you once you can tell me who you are, what you're here for, you know, what are you doing? So I want it to be based on your answer to be based on what God would have for you. And then once you find out who you are, where you're from, what you're supposed to be doing, what does that look like in your giving it to the world, your serving that purpose? Basically, I'm asking you your identity. And who's, as my mama would say, whose are you? These questions can be answered, but they have to be answered in solitude. Mm. They have to be answered with pen and paper in hand and tissue, and really getting the crux of, I don't have a lot of time here, so I'm going to make use of the time that I do have. Mm-hmm. You've heard me say in times past that I was guilty of doing a good thing, but it wasn't necessarily the right thing. Mm-hmm. And that good thing caused me, of course, to go broke several times, and had me going around telling people that, oh, it was God, it was God, it was God's way of just telling me, no, Tanj, that was you. Not adhering to why you're here, where you're from, mm-hmm. whose you are, and getting busy doing that. Mm-hmm. I think the worst thing in the world that could happen is for, I'll use myself as an example, mm-hmm. for me to get all of these accolades, for me to get awards,
right.
for me to amass abundance.
Yeah.
Okay. And then discover that I was so far from where I was supposed to be. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. What a travesty. What a travesty.
Yeah.
So for you that are listening and for you that are watching, I want you to take some time this week. Answer those questions. The question of identity. The question of purpose. The question of destiny. Because that's basically what you're doing.
Right.
When you answer those questions, you will be so much closer to where you're supposed to be. Because I do not want you to ever think, as of this day, that you were born to get a job.
Right, right.
Pay bills.
Yeah.
Get in a routine.
Yeah.
Pass out a tract. And you understand what I'm saying. And then at the end of that life say, well, you know, it's been real good. You're out of order.
Mm-hmm.
You really are. So though that's what the show, that's the premise of the show. It is to investigate, for lack of a better word. Why are you here?
Yeah.
And what can we do to make your life better?
Yeah, that's good.
So thank you.
Thank you.
For listening. Now I'm so excited about this woman.
Oh.
The pusher.
Purpose pusher.
Be careful with that pusher. Because even when you just say pusher, I was like, I know we in LA on the block, but hold on real quick.
Purpose pusher.
Actually, just if it's got to be just the purpose, yeah, you got to do that first. Because when I hear pusher, I'm like, okay, we're doing another music video.
This is different. It's a different kind of show.
We go straight hip hop.
That's a different kind of show.
This woman pushes purpose over at USC.
Yeah.
She pushes purpose and is the founder and pastor of Word of Encouragement Church.
Amen.
And she pushes when she meets with people and on a one-on-one and minister to them and give sessions and at events. She wants to know what your purpose is.
Absolutely.
She does a wonderful thing called a living assignment.
Living on assignment.
Yeah. I'm talking about none other than Dr. Najuma.
Yes.
Pollard. Is that right?
That's
Pollard?
Uh-huh.
All right.
And Rev Juju.
Rev Juju, yes.
Look, Juju.
You call me Rev Juju.
No, that's it. I'm going for my artist. Look, I'm already past y'all.
So, you know.
You know we're going on tour 2019.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Already destined.
She walks in the room and she commands the room.
Wow.
Her smile is just infectious to say that, you know, I was so nervous. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm reading your bio and I'm thinking, oh my God, Jeannie, do you know who we got here?
Only way I'm trying to roll. Purpose pushers. You can't come in if you're not a purpose pusher. I was like, oh, here's the one.
Thank you.
Without further ado, I know, right?
God is kind.
Without further ado.
Yes, ma'am.
I wrote some questions.
Okay. I got some answers.
First, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
You, I don't want to give it away, but you are such a living demonstration.
Thank you.
Of,
God is kind.
Oh, man. Tell me about it. Of questions that need answers.
Yeah.
And the fact that you are still standing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're still pulling people out of ideologies that really don't benefit them.
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to be kind. I'm doing better.
I love it.
Now, question number one,
lady. Yes.
How did you get from studying business administration.
Yeah. Okay? Oh, you did do and your management.
Homework. Oh, I did. Oh, absolutely, I did. And you did that at Woodbury University.
Yeah, yeah.
Coupled with studying business management at Pepperdine University. Yeah. I mean, these are elite places that you've studied, and you've been privileged to do that. And studying at the United Theological Seminary. And then founding and pastoring Word of Encouragement.
Right, okay? Right.
And then, being the founder and owner of Living on Assignment.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you do all of that? How did you get from there to here?
Right. So, well, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. And just thank you for the time that we got a chance to just chat before the show. And, you know, my easy, simple answer is God is kind. And if it had not been for the Lord on my side, and I share with you a little bit, you know, I've had my fair share of challenges and battles and uphills. And so part of it, the hugest part is that God has just been good and kind.
Okay.
And through all that I've been through and we've had similar experiences, he kept my mind, right? Mm-hmm. And so as long as I had a soundness of mind, I was able to process the things that I wanted to accomplish.
Okay.
And I say that way because even as a young lady, a young child, I started having dreams early. Like I had dreams early of speaking before I was even a teenager, I had dreams early, and I would just kind of process these dreams. And I knew at a young age that there was a lot for me to do.
Amen.
I didn't know how, I didn't know what, I just knew that there was big work. And so because God helped me keep my mind through molestation and through the challenges of navigating young adulthood and then being a young mother and, you know, really being able to check off all the major statistics.
Right.
But as long as I had my mind, I could always go back to those dreams that I had. And, you know, not to sound cliche-ish, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, Joseph, you know, he has this dream, and it's the dreams that kept me pushing. Okay. Does that make sense? It's the dreams that kept me, you know, I remember going through a tough patch financially and being on AFDC and WIC with my first son, my oldest son, Daniel, and, you know, trying to figure it out and then just deciding, doggone it, you want to get a master's degree, you're going back to school to get that bachelor's and master's, because the dream of it all kept coming back. Business ownership was always a dream. And then ministry wasn't necessarily the dream, but speaking. I had dreams very early of talking to large groups of people.
Wow.
And so, but ministry came about because I joined the right church at the right time with the right pastor, and who's still my pastor, Dr. Cecil L. Chip Murray, who I have the privilege of working with every day at the Cecil Murray Center as the program manager.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, that's a privilege. It's a privilege and an honor. And so, I joined the right church at the right time under the right pastor, and his ministry and his ability to share the word encouraged me so that my first Sunday there visiting at 17, coming fresh out of a bunch of hurt and pain and turmoil, dealing with molestation, I joined that first Sunday and became very active immediately. And ministry, and this is what I share, people, was just like the next level. I just got really involved in church.
Okay.
And but I just knew that there was more.
Okay.
And what I want to share with those that are listening and watching is, like, when you know that there's more inside of you, you got to just visit that and let that lead you. And so so one of the things that I share with people is, like, if you know, when you know that there's more inside of you than what you're experiencing, than just the job or just the mundane, you know, living, you gotta go back to that place and dig deep into that, and keep telling yourself there's more. And so you have to, it's easier said than done.
Oh, yes.
So I don't say this like it was easy, but you gotta just decide, like, I wanted a master's degree.
Wow.
So I figured out how to go back to school. I didn't have no help. I didn't have no money. I figured out how to go back to school and get the master's degree. When ministry came up, I was afraid, but I also knew at the same time, like,
this is actually what I'm supposed to be. Like, this is part of those dreams, you know, okay. speaking to people.
Okay.
That was part of those dreams I've okay. been having. And so, you know, I encourage people to, so part of living on assignment was me just taking all that I've experienced and learned mm-hmm. and really trying to encourage people to do the same. Tap back into your dreams. Don't let your dreams die. I don't care what, you know, sometimes we can get caught up, you know, especially as women, nurturing right. our children, trying mm-hmm. to raise our families. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I try to tell women is whatever your dream is, you cannot die without at least trying. You got to at least try. If yeah. you got to put the kids in a babysitter, if you got to figure yeah. it out, whatever you got to figure out, you got to at least try to go mm. for your dreams, whatever they look like. And so for me, I don't have like, well, I did X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. I mean, I probably have a formula now, right? You know what I'm saying? At 46, right. going on 47 and right. having done a few things, but the beginning,
yeah.
it was just, I had dreams.
Amen.
And I had a sound mind. As long as I had a sound mind, I could think through. I could figure out everything else. Mm. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that's mm-hmm. how, that's what the process was.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I didn't, when I got tired of not having a good place to live, I because I had a sound mind, think through how to get a better place to live. Think through, you know, and so one of the things that I do is I encourage people to think through your options. Don't just say it's not possible because it's hard. And I recently did a post entitled, "It's Hard, But It's Not Impossible." Mm. And we got to push past being afraid of things being hard. Sometimes life is hard and we're like, oh, it's hard. It's hard. Right. It's hard, but it ain't impossible. And so that's how, getting myself back into school with mm-hmm. a child, every degree I have, I had a baby on my hip. I don't say it to brag. I'm just saying, like, every degree, people remember. There are people that remember that were at Daniel, my oldest son. He was murdered recently, but they were at his services who remember when I brought him to school, Southern California School of Ministry, and I'm just starting out learning, and he was in his carrier. Yeah. And he'd be in his carrier, and
you would have the baby
in a right carrier there, yeah. in class,
of course, because I know that in some class. Institutions, I mean, they'll have the daycares, and a lot of people get offended by that because or some of the younger kids, I mean, having these nursery schools right. in right. the school.
No, but he was daddy was in class
right
daddy
there
was,
with you.
All my kids have come to class with me at some point or another because that's just how. It had to happen. You know, I didn't always have babysitting.
Because that was my next question. Yeah. Just real talk.
Yeah.
When you can't afford the babysitter, you have them right there.
You got to have them right there. I'm just grateful Absolutely. That I had teachers that understood that, mm-hmm. you know, along the way. But all of my kids at some point went to class with me, you know, because it was just, Incredible. You don't always have the, you know, and there are people that are listening. They're like, yeah, you know, you just got to,
you got to do what you have to do.
Yeah. And Absolutely. So that's how.
Okay.
That's how. I don't. I hope that helps somebody.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I have a wonderful family. I have a very supportive family, but you know, everybody's got their struggles and issues. Right. So it wasn't like there was a whole bunch of help.
Right.
But when you want what you want, you will figure it out. Yes, that's why I don't take excuses from people. I can't do it. No, look, listen, here's what I know about human nature. When you want it, mm-hmm. you will figure it out.
You will find a way.
You will find whatever you want. So sometimes people just don't want it bad enough. Right. But when you want it, you will figure it out.
You will.
Yeah, you will.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.
Purpose pusher.
I know, right? Purpose pusher.
And so I tell people when I work with them as a coach or, you know, coaching them, it's like, what you can do is feed me no excuses.
Right.
Because I'm not.
I used to get angry when my husband would tell me that excuses are for the weak. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm looking at him like, you don't understand. So, yes. With that said.
Yeah.
What have been some of the differences in challenges that you've encountered from people that perhaps attend some of your motivational sessions and your coaching one-on-one versus people who may be in the church, in the building,
right.
not really knowing that they're the church.
Right. Okay? I got you.
Have you experienced there being a difference mm-hmm. where you're motivating people, just say in the marketplace,
right.
And they're easily, I can do it. Whereas under maybe other ideologies.
Right.
I was guilty of giving excuses.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'd pray about it.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to sit here because I've prayed about it.
Yeah.
He said, be still. So I'm just going to go ahead and watch TV.
Right, right. Absolutely. So, yeah. We've taken that word wait the wrong way sometimes. Okay. Wait is an active word. But but I get your question, and thank you for that. So two things that I'll lift up. Okay. Typically, when you are speaking to people in an inspirational, motivational setting or working with them coaching, they've paid money. Right. Mm-hmm. Or they've at least registered, or so there's a sense of connecting with you because I want something that you have to offer because I want to do something else.
That's
their mindset. That's the mindset. So the mindset's different. Okay. A lot of times in church and not all church members. So all my word of encouragement just ain't y'all. but a lot of times because we have a lot of bad teaching in church, just in general, just in general. Some people have really been taught that waiting means to just wait and be still. Mm. But waiting is an active term that means that while I'm waiting, I'm actively doing what I can do while God's doing what God can do. And so, you know, so a lot of it is just people coming through, you know, teachings and a lot of pastors taught what they understood and what they knew. So I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying that we haven't always been, let me say this. We haven't always been taught to use the word of God for our life. If that makes sense. A lot of people come out of spiritual spaces where the word of God or whatever their sacred text is just about their spirituality, but it has nothing, but they've been taught it has nothing to do with your literal life day to day. And that's just not true. Mm-hmm. God is a day-to-day, my daily issues God. He's the God of my spirit, but also the God of my paycheck. And so, and God of my dreams and God of my hopes and God of my salvation. And so a lot of times people have been taught that Jesus is just about salvation and Jesus is only for the purpose of getting to heaven, and that you don't access Jesus or the power of God to work on your business plan or to write your song or to write your book. And so one of the things that I'm clear that my ministry is about is marrying the two. Like God is God, and God and Jesus and Holy Spirit is for salvation. It is so our souls can be saved, work out our soul salvation on this side of Calvary, and our end game is heaven. But while I'm here, Holy Ghost, help me get this work record done. Holy Ghost, help me write this book. Holy Ghost, help me go to school. Help me raise my children. Help me be an entrepreneur or whatever it is that my hands have been anointed to do on this earth. And so I think that's where ministry is now coming more alive in helping people understand that the Holy Spirit is not just for you to be deep in church and shout and e-ba-o-ba, but it's also so when you walk into your work environment, that Holy Ghost will help you get your work done and be effective
waiting
in the marketplace.
Actively.
It's an active way. It's an active way. So while I'm waiting on God to open up doors, and here's the thing that I teach at my church, while I'm waiting on God to open up miraculous doors, I'm getting my bio together. Or my CV or my, I'm writing the song. So when the door opens for me to meet a producer, I got a song already. I'm not talking about, give me 10 days and let me write a song. I got here. I've been working because I expected God to open this door.
I did not need to meet you.
I'm trying.
Dr. Tanya, you know.
Oh my gosh.
So it's about, it's the marriage of our spirit and our natural. Yeah. It's a marriage of, you know, some people call it ministry marketplace, the marriage of spirit and the tangible life that we live.
Absolutely.
And for a long time, your church was church, God, scripture was just about the salvation. And it should be for that.
Absolutely.
You know, but I can also access God's power to be effective in the world.
Wow. Thank you.
And that's what the text says, right? Yeah. Salt, light into the dark world.
Absolutely.
How else am I going to be salt and light unless I do what I'm called to do?
Absolutely.
Wow. And then in your sessions, speaking, masterclasses, you provide, because you said, you just have to do it, but sometimes.
Oh, you got to give
people
a visionaries, roadmap.
Right? That was my next one. Please tell me you provide that blueprint.
Yeah.
And then it's right. up to you.
Absolutely. And you know, we have a roadmap and, you know, things to consider. And really, I start with ask me what they want to do. Like, what's your dream? What's your vision?
Right,
what's your goal?
That's right.
What's your intention? It's not about me identifying it. Right. You have to identify. And then walking through some steps, what, you know, based upon what their needs are, okay. walking through some steps. And there's some general things, you know, like okay. you have to write out the vision and make it plain.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you have absolutely. To be clear and you have to get clarity about what it is that you want, what mm-hmm. it is that you can do. You know, so there's mm-hmm. some just general things, but then there's some very niche things based upon who you are as an individual.
Absolutely.
And so that's how we do that. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I could just listen on and on.
That was the purpose pusher session right there. So the Dr. Tanji Show, he's just giving you a blueprint. Look, and don't forget waiting New Year and resolution 2019 today.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait actively.
Yeah. Wait actively. Yeah, because God is always at work.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And last but not least.
No problem.
Because you do walk in such victory.
Amen.
Okay.
God is kind.
In front of the camera and yeah. behind the camera and when the recorder's not going yeah. and what have you. You mentioned that you recently lost
yeah.
your son, Daniel.
Yeah. yeah.
And a very handsome son, yeah. by the way, and very talented son.
Yeah.
And I wanted to share my loss. He wasn't a son.
Yeah.
His name is Ryan Stewart.
Yeah.
And I lost him beginning of the year.
Wow.
And
I'm sorry.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. He was the worship leader at our church over mm-hmm. at Greater Zion,
oh,
Dr.
Wow.
Fisher.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah, I remember that. Oh, I remember,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He would come, he and Angel mm-hmm. would come to my home, our home, and we would have dinner
mm.
once a month.
Wow.
And we would laugh.
Yeah.
And we would meet at 7 and be finished by 5 o'clock the next morning.
I bet.
And there was no judgment.
Yeah.
I didn't have to be prim and proper. I could just be Tanji.
You
know?
Yeah.
And I remember getting the call and saying that he was over at the hospital and I wanted to see him.
Yeah.
Now, because my trade is medicine.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't practice actively anymore.
I got it.
But I believe that God has given me the gift of healing.
Yes.
So with that gift
yeah.
and my word, his yeah. word, I'm thinking, well, I'll just get on over to LA and we'll just, like it has been so many mm-hmm. times before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'll just believe God.
Yeah.
I'll receive.
Yeah.
We'll lay hands and he will recover.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Doctor, you couldn't have told me that was not going to happen.
Come on.
So when I got there and I'm standing out and I'm waiting on Miss Kathy, her name is Kathy, Mama Kathy, to kind of get him cleaned up and what have you. And so we can go in and say hello. And it was, hey, you got to come and you got to sing that song that God gave me. And you've got to sing that song.
Yeah.
And it's just one word, release.
Yeah.
But it's such a beautiful. Powerful song.
Yeah.
I'm like, We've got to write the words to that song.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Come on, let's go.
Yeah.
So what are they saying? And they began to talk the medical jargon. I'm like, oh, okay. So we'll just do this and we'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, long of it, he wasn't.
Yeah.
So when I get the call that it's not looking good, I'm angry.
Yeah.
My anger is, no.
Yeah.
Put that doctor out the room. I'll be there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on my way.
Yeah.
And lo and behold,
he transitioned.
Yeah. So my question to you, because I know what, and he was just my friend.
I got you.
How do you, in everything that you're doing and have done, and gotta do
before
this thing, this assignment's over.
Yeah.
How do you go from here to there?
Yeah.
But I'm going through this.
Right.
And you want me to do what?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, that is so perfect, Dr. Tanji. Feel free to jump into this conversation at Dr. Tanji, all social media, with Rev. Juju, because we have Lynette who chimed in on Facebook here in LA. And perfect timing with Dr. Tanji and Reverend Juju asked for examples with how powerful you are and disseminating wisdom and motivation. But she asked, when you have challenges in your life,
right?
You know, how you, or when your faith is challenged,
yeah,
really, how did you get through something with something so close?
Yeah. So I was sharing with Dr. Tanji, like you, when I got the call Saturday morning, because while my son was being shot in transport hospital, I'm at a workout class. I'm at my church and we have an event going on. And so when I got the call, and you know, the young lady that was with my son, she had to actually call people out of state who called us because she didn't have nobody's number. She just was a friend. And so I thank God for her that she, in the midst of her trauma, because she was there, she had wisdom enough, sense enough, God gave her something to make a call to somebody out of state who knew our family, who called the family who called me, right? Wow. But when I get the call, I'm like you. Mm. I believe.
Right.
I believe. I call his dad, we get on the plane, calls people, get that, you know, and I'm full of tears because I'm scared, nervous, but I'm saying to myself, by the time I get to the hospital, he's going to be sitting up. Because God, I believe you. I have a t-shirt. I have a t-shirt line that says, I believe God. So I'm driving to the airport. I'm on the plane and I'm declaring my son will be. Because when I talk to the nurse, I asked the nurse one question because over the phone, they don't give you information. So that wasn't helping me. That was a hell of its own. Talking to a nurse and she's like, all I can tell you is you need to get here right away. I said, ma'am, I need you to answer one question for me. I said, is my son conscious or not? And she said, no, get here right away. I said, okay. So in my mind, in my heart, I have resolved, God, by the time I get there, I believe you. I believe that you're, I don't know what has happened. I don't know why it's happened. I don't know who, what, when, where. All I know is I believe you. And I'm prophesying, I'm declaring the word of God as I'm driving full of tears, trying to make arrangements. On the airplane, me and his dad, we're just like we're just spaced out. And then I walk in the room and I see his injuries and I see all of the machines and stuff. And my heart sunk because I knew this is bad. Yeah. But even still, I said, God, I believe you, but this is bad. And I shared with you earlier that things were not looking good. And the nurse, and God bless her, I'm gonna find out her name and send her a bunch of gifts and flowers for the next 20 years. But she said to me, in the midst of what, and this is what I should even during when I did Daniel's eulogy, was she must have seen me sinking deep within, even though I'm standing. And she says, there's a scripture. And, you know, I'm like, what? And she says, it goes something like this. It's in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. Da, da, da. You all know the rest. And so in that moment, I understood what God was saying is that this is not a belief journey. It's a trust journey. And you have to trust me no matter what. So a belief when, you know, you I believed. But God was saying what I'm challenging with in this season, I'm come to understand that more and more as every day has gone by, is that where God has me now is not in belief. God said, I know you believe me. Now I need you to trust me. And I need you to trust me whether I bring him out or not. And so for 48 plus hours, we sat there, me and his dad and some family members and friends, and God blessed them that came. And we watched our son go from alive to not alive. And even in the final moments, you know, as they're counting down and they're about to call it, I said, God, I trust you. I trust you. We didn't get the miracle we were asking for, but God, but I trust you. And that's what this has been. It's been, thank you. It's been a trust journey. And so to answer the question, I am learning that, it's not always about the miracle we want, but there's a miracle God is trying to sometimes show us. And to answer her, the young lady's question, how do you go forward in the midst of challenge, is you got to trust God. You got to trust God. You got to trust God. You got to trust that even when it ain't working out, God is working it out. Something. If I did not trust, if I didn't know trust, then belief would have let me down.
And then so this could have been a different.
This would have been a, my emotional state would have been different.
You may not even.
I would have
right
lost
now.
Belief, right? Because belief didn't activate the way I thought it would activate. If that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
So it was necessary, and I didn't process all this on the 27th. It's now November 12th, and so I've had time to sit with God and think and pray and meditate and talk to people and talk it through and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But what I understand is that there's a belief journey where you learn to believe God, but then there's a journey where you got to learn to trust God. Trust him no matter what. Trust him if he says yes to what you want and no to it. Trust him when it looks like it's coming together, when it's not. I have to learn to trust God. And so for anyone out there, whatever it is that you are dreaming, thinking, feeling that you want to do, and life has hit you with a ton of bricks, the way to get through it. To love and lose is to trust God.
Trust God.
Because if I did not trust God, then this would have been a whole different mental, then my spirit and my mind wouldn't have survived it. But quickly God gave me that word, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. And so saying out loud, as they're calling it, 10:29, 4:25 p.m. I'll never forget that. That will never leave my mind. That will never leave my mind. Those last 15 minutes before they call it, is God, I trust you. I trust you even in this, as my son is laying there lifeless. God, I trust you. I trust that I don't understand. I will never understand. This don't make no sense, but I trust you. And that's how you make it. That's how you do it. You believe, but you also have to trust. And I have to trust that God is going to get me through it.
Yeah.
I have to trust that God's going to make a way. Yeah. I have to trust that God knows what God is doing. I have to trust that God's going to give us justice for our son. And so for this young lady who asked the question, I would encourage you to begin to trust God, that whatever God has put on your heart to do, whatever God has called you to be, do, have, and or possess, you have to trust that God is going to make a way somehow. And if he doesn't make the way you want him to make a way, that whatever his way is still the right way. And that on all his ways are perfect, even if it doesn't feel perfect to us. But it's a trust. So faith is a belief journey, but it's a trust journey.
Wow. Lynette in LA.
I pray that helped you, Lynette. If it didn't call me, Lynette, call me. Hit me up.
Yeah, because it's a process.
It's a process. Wow. And in some
people's journeys, not as soon, long years, and maybe sometimes not. That's what I want people to know. So Lynette, everybody listening and watching, you know, accept that and trust.
Yeah. And I still cry. I still cry and weep. I still have my moments. Even driving here, you know, I had a moment in the car. So I don't want no one to think that, oh, she's good. I'm not. I just trust.
What was your son passionate about?
We were talking about that. Yeah. Rap music.
Yeah.
Fashion. He was actually starting a clothing line that we're going to continue in his honor.
Yeah, because I saw that bag. No, when I tell you I feel him
your Instagram. I took the bag. Mama got the bag.
We're going to continue with the shot of the bag behind you and keep the journey moving.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Absolutely.
No,
because that's a good idea, by the way.
No, trust me. No. Our purpose has already been ordained. Yeah. I'm clear. Yeah. Y'all laughing at me about your tour and the group in that bag. I already see it.
Thank you for that. I'm going to do that. Trust. But
but it's purpose pusher.
Trust.
That's what she does.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, it's right now we're on a trust journey that, and even trusting God with your pain.
Yeah.
Trusting God with the dark stuff, trusting God with the hurt and trust and giving it to him and knowing that in time he will give you beauty for ashes, but you got to trust him with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I normally can be well composed. But when you meet someone of your caliber.
God bless you.
And I love you so very much.
I love you. Thank you.
God bless you. If I could take the pain.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
Not borderlining self-righteousness.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Because I do know that all things really do work together.
Yeah.
For two reasons. One, that we are called
for
his purpose, not ours. Yeah. And because we love him.
Yeah.
And for you to continue loving and trusting and believing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so, so very much.
Yeah.
You've got a lot to do, lady. you really do. You've done a lot.
Yeah.
But you've got so much more to do.
Yeah. I'm learning that. Yeah. I'm learning that. And I, like you talk about anger, and one of the things that your pastor, Pastor Fisher, we talked and he shared something with me about sacrifice.
Mm.
And, so yeah, there's a lot to do.
Guy.
He is. That's my buddy. But yeah, there's a lot to do. And as I come through this phase of life, I'm telling God yes, a little reluctantly because of how the mother in me is hurting.
For sure.
But you know, I'm saying yes a little more every day.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's easy. I used to say this to my children. Anybody can shout hallelujah.
Yeah.
Wow. Isn't he awesome?
Yeah.
When every bill is paid.
Yeah.
You've got maybe $200,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
And it feels good that you're the loudest one at the event.
Yeah.
But then I liken it to that word being tried in you.
Yeah.
And when that word comes to try, we have to remind ourselves, it ain't got nothing to do with us.
It ain't got nothing to do
with it. It doesn't have anything.
Yeah.
It does not.
And one of the scriptures that one of the stories I quoted when I did Daniel's eulogy was I talked about our buddy Job taught us, that the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed and even in that, the trying of our faith is can I. Feeling betrayed even a little bit by God and feeling down and sad and hurt, but can I still tell God your God? Can I still honor him as being holy?
Yeah.
That's the trying of our faith.
Yeah.
And God wants to know, will you, if I take the most important thing from you, will you still trust me?
Yeah. I likened one of the, and I've had so many opportunities for him to try that faith.
Yeah, come on.
But one in particular that I am forever grateful for, and I realized it wasn't him, it was me, was the advent when we had become temporarily displaced.
Mm-hmm.
And I still had an MD after my name.
See?
And I'm still raising holy hands and in service. And, and people have no earthly idea that I would make my way to the hotel every evening. And then he says, Daddy, I call him Daddy. God says, now you've got to go and serve at a homeless.
Yeah, and you homeless.
And I'm thinking,
come on, let me tell you something.
Is he serious?
Listen.
Have I done something wrong?
Right. Why would you? Yeah.
But didn't I fast, Dad? 40 days and 40 nights?
I gave you enough. Yeah, listen.
But still being able to say,
okay,
but I trust you.
Yeah.
And it was in the midst of all of that. And of course, my loving mother, bless her heart, my Annie, saying, Pootie, come home.
Yeah.
And I'm telling her, but if I come, I'm going to forfeit.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't forfeit.
Yeah.
Because everyone that I've met along the way, and I've told them about this God, and I've told them about living purpose and living life on purpose and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
They're going to say, you know, well, if he didn't do it.
Yeah, for you.
For her.
Then why should I? Why should I continue in this journey?
I don't even stand a chance.
Yeah.
So I said all that to say, you know, they will come. Those opportunities.
Yeah.
They will come.
Yeah.
They will. But you said something that was so poignant.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a trust.
Yeah.
Not a belief.
Yeah.
It becomes a trust. Yeah.
And trust and belief are is a fine line, but they're different.
Yeah, they
it's
are.
A different
they
it's are. A different perspective because I can believe for a miracle, but do I trust them when the miracle doesn't come to pass the way I expect
the way it? I expect it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so it's a different perspective, different angle of faith. But but that being, you know, God trying our faith even in your darkest moment, your darkest hour, and then God says, go serve. Serve. I told my church last one time, like, don't you see I'm crying? Like, don't see me down here crying? How are you sending other people to ask me questions? I ain't got no answers for nobody, and I don't want to answer nothing. And Lord was like, who are you? Okay, Lord. Yeah. You
but know, I'm glad y'all addressing that because it's real.
It's very real. And I don't want to take away from trauma. People, you have to, when you've gone through a traumatic experience, you have to take care of yourself. And so I don't want anyone to think superhuman or anything like that. But my journey was a trust. It was just really a trust. It was a trust journey. And whatever level of faith you're on, trust, you know, we have to trust him, but I don't want to minimize the trauma. That trauma is real. Part of why my hair is short is that same week that he died, I'm combing my hair is just literally falling out in the sink. Wow. And I was like, okay, I can either fake it till I make it or cut it off. And I was like, well, I look cute with short hair, so I'm gonna cut it off. And then I called my stylist, like, I want it pink, you know, because it was because of trauma, right? You know, the day I'm walking out the hospital after they've called it, and whatever my body was going through, I had a tooth that cracked, and so trauma is real. Like,
isn't that amazing what our emotions do to our bodies?
Tooth cracked, and so physically the trauma was taking toll on my body, but so I don't want to minimize trauma and say, oh, forget the trauma, trust. What I am saying is you have to see to the trauma, see to the challenge. Don't minimize it, don't mitigate it, don't ignore it, don't act like it doesn't exist. But you can live into, and this is something one of our ministers preached my first Sunday back, was you can live into both intentions, the chaos and joy, the pain and relief. Like, you can live into both intentions. And so, you know, as I'm dealing with trauma, I'm also learning to trust God.
Amen.
Wow. Thank you. Well, I'm going to tell you, because I know we are running out of time, and I told you to interact at Dr. Tanji show. Yes. I knew it was going to be intense. We need hours, you know what I mean? Yeah. But that leads me to a retreat that's coming up.
Y'all, all right.
Y'all
retreat.
Don't know about
retreat.
Either, that y'all are hosting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Retreat, I'm going to let you know what y'all have
all right.
to do.
No, we going to do this.
No, it's already. While I'm sitting here in my office.
Look, she's planning.
I'm in the spring and summer 2019.
She's not.
I'll tell you something.
I know. I really believe she's not lying.
Twitter is jumping off, and I was telling everybody to tune in. And Emmett, in your ATL, Dr. Tanji, she has such a strong following in Atlanta. Emmett, he says, I'm a new author, husband, father, with an unfulfilling full-time job. Wow. Got to pay the bills, though. He said, I want to create a speaking platform like you amazing women are doing, but for men, because we rarely have a platform to speak or hear our feelings or have anybody to listen. His question is, how do you balance your ventures and time to make things work out?
Ooh. Yeah. So balance, I don't use the word, Emmett, I don't use the word balance
anymore. Yeah, because does that
exist? The balance doesn't exist.
Sounds good.
There's always going to be something off balance when you're trying to do multiple things, or when you have to do work plus vision planning or work and dream pursuit. And so it's not about balance, about priority. Right. And so, Emmett, what I would offer to you is every day you got to set the priority. And sometimes the priority will be your business. Sometimes the priority is a project at work that has to get done. Sometimes the priority is your children. So every day, go through the process of prioritizing, but keeping on your list of priorities your dream to be a speaker. And maybe it's starting out with speaking at boys' homes or, you know, the boys' club, or every church has space with
some
boys.
Some type of ministry,
and so tapping, knocking on those doors until the door opens. But I don't use the word balance anymore. I use the word priority. And so every day, and even now, you know, setting priorities. And one of my priorities, I got to get up in the morning and meditate just so I can be regular.
You do that every morning?
Every morning, 5 a.m. A little thing goes off on my phone and I spend 5-10 minutes in meditation. But I have to. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I can't. to not do it, I'll be sitting on the couch like, what am I supposed to do?
Right.
Okay. Because of where the space I'm in. So meditation helps me to get centered and focused. And I've been meditating since about 2014, but now it's on another. Yeah. Wow. But Emmett, I would tell you, don't worry about balance. Look at priority setting.
Dr. Tanji, look,
wow.
What do you
I know,
do?
Right? I know, right? The great doctor has spoken.
Oh, God bless you. No, we both great.
Yes, we are, aren't we?
Yeah.
God be the glory. Emmett, thank you so very, very much for tuning in. And again, we are not taking what you're saying lightly.
Yeah.
I do have to agree with Dr. Najoma. I wouldn't necessarily use that proverbial word balance, but I would say to begin with the end in mind.
Yeah, that's
already
good.
See yourself as that world-renowned speaker that you're filling up millions and millions of people are in the auditorium and in the stadium, and you've got your nannies a tow and everything is going good. You want to see it that way. Mm-hmm. Then you can go back and start. Mm-hmm. Okay, but always acknowledge him. Please don't try to do this by yourself.
Yeah.
The wheel has already been invented. You don't have to reinvent it. And surround yourself with people that will hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. If you speak it, they've got to hold you accountable until they see a physical manifestation of what you've spoken.
Mm-hmm. That's
but
good.
Don't quit whatever you do. You cannot quit. Quitting is not an option. You've chimed into this show at Dr. Tanji's show. So you know what? You got to do it. And I am so very, very grateful.
Thank you.
I am so very, very grateful for
I'm
your
grateful.
Time. We're
Thank
not
you.
The creators of time. So when someone says, I'm going to make time and do such and such a thing, I tell them, wow, where do you do that at? So with your coming here and being such a light, being such a force for us, thank
Amen.
You.
Bless
you will continue to
this
be in my prayers.
Amazing.
I know, right?
Oh, and please stay tuned. Look, I'm just the producer over here, but let me tell you something.
Look, producer got
They had this. Keep your eyes and ears open. There's so much coming from them individually and together. And I'm so excited for what's coming to you. So I really need to know what city you're in, where you
Absolutely.
Are. Look.
We're coming to you.
We're coming.
Thank you
coming
for showing.
To a city near you.
Thank you for showing
Purpose
up today.
Purpose pusher.
Believe
Amen.
That. We love you so
Dr.
very
Tanji.
Much.
Wow.
All is well. Have a wonderful day.
You're listening to The Dr. Tanji Show with Dr. Tanji Scott, only on LA.